Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Ah, Uncle Jaseneb, life, liberty, prosperity, yet another decree stolen from you and me. The ancestors of the Nile Valley left us other messages too, like, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food.
Why is food and drugs under the same administration? They putting drugs in the food to keep money accumulating now. They like to call it additives and preservatives, slowly killing everybody that purchases it. Can you pronounce what's on the back of the label? Then that shit we need to keep off our dinner table now. The food is what's fueling these diseases, paying rich doctors all these medical fees, but they never cure you, they just keep you in need, cut you open for surgery and let your pockets bleed. See, we got away from what we used to eat. We forgot we were kidnapped and forced to eat meat. We ate from the earth, so we communicated with it. We cut the conversation, now check the situation. See, blacks the leaders in heart disease, cancer. We give them money like pills is the answer. Damn, I'd be wrong if I didn't pass the info. Hormones in the food got you thinking like a nympho. Wonder why all these young girls so thick, like a baseball player. Steroids is it. They got it in the vegetables, the fruit, the meat, and all the fast food they be selling in the street. It's a war going on, and our diet must reflect it. We all got the power, we just gotta direct it. Neglect it, never. Refer to the metal nature that them hoteps, the father of medicine.
Okay,
oh,
I'm here.
Oh, y'all, I'm here.
Queen.
Okay, well, y'all better start talking. People waiting on y'all.
No, I saw my sister. I had to get to my phone. I didn't hear her come on, so I was like, oh, let me go ahead and get on here. But so I got it now. So peace, everyone. Okay. Thank you for joining us again. Thank you for holding it down, Christy. Thank you for joining us again, everyone, on another episode of Food for Medicine here on Dynasty Network 1382. We have another dynamic topic for you today. Just for those of you who are new to Dynasty Network or new to listening to the Food for Medicine show, we basically are a one show out of many on Dynasty Network 1382, which is a revolutionary radio network for basically just shows that deal with issues that concern the black community or the African community. So Food for Medicine, we do have a premise for our show, and that is this. The premise of Food for Medicine is that we're here to enlighten African people on how to use food, not just as an alternative to medicine, but also to use food as it was intended by our ancestors. This show is designed to teach you how to eat to live instead of living to eat. Asheo. And we are very passionate about that here on Food for Medicine. So just to introduce myself, for those of you who are new to our show, my name is Dr. Afivi Adiro. I'm a naturopathic doctor, which means that I'm a family practice or general practice doctor, but I specialize in naturopathy, which is holistic therapies that are used to bring the body back into balance. So things like acupuncture, herbs, you name it, hydrotherapy, diet, nutrition, which are my passion. Those are things that I focus on because I like to use things that strengthen the body's self-healing power, and using drugs and chemicals and surgery and things like that are not what that is. And as you can tell by the name of the show, food, nutrition is something that we find foundational here. I believe that if the diet is messed up, if it's not on point and supportive to the body, then any other therapy that you do on top of that, whether it be herbs, whether it be some kind of fancy schmancy, you know, protocol, then it's not going to work as effectively because you're not supporting the body through the food. So, which is why my sister and I come to you with this information here on Food for Medicine every week, same time, same place, because we want to educate you, or really we're reminding you, because you already know. You know, you just forgot about what kind of foods can actually heal your body if you decide to consume them on a daily basis. So today's topic that we're going to talk about today is foods for eye health and eye wellness, because, and I usually tell people or tell you all the reason why I decided to do these different topics. And I'm usually inspired by patients that I see, questions that people ask me, you know, every day. And I usually just go from there because it's something that I feel is just energetically bringing me to talk about certain things, because even though people around me have those questions, I'm sure that you all out there who are not around me every day have the same questions. So even if you don't have problems with your eyes or you're not really concerned about your own eye health, I'm sure that you have some loved ones, people in your family that do have problems with their eyes, and this is something that you can pass along and share, and that's exactly the reason why we're doing Food for Medicine, so that I can disseminate information and not just keep it to myself, but share it with, you know, my family, because what use is it just being in my head, right? Okay, so make sure you got your pen and your pad ready. Oh, and remember, this is a live call-in show, so if you would like to call in and ask me a question or make a comment, add to the discussion that we're having, because we do like to have discussions. We do like to have like a constructive building type of environment here on Dynasty Radio, because this is something that involves our whole community. So if you do want to call in, the number is this, 646-716-7572. And then you'll be prompted to press number 1 if you choose to make a comment or you have a question. But if not, just call in the number, sit back, relax, and listen to me talk about all the things that come out of my head, because, you know, I like to do. I have notes, but I go off top. So just make sure you have a pen and a pad ready. But no worries, if you do miss something that I say, you can always call, or you can go back and listen to the archives, because there are hundreds of archives for our radio network that you can go to. If you go to dynastyradio.net, or and then you go to our Blog Talk station, you can click on that and find all the archives for all the shows that we have, anything you missed. So now getting into the topic, nutrients, or I don't want to say nutrients, but we are going to get into nutrients, but it's foods for eye health. So I had a couple of patients in the last couple of weeks that were asking me questions about their eyes. They were having some problems with vision, seeing that, you know, some of them were older. Some of them had, like, other conditions that were creating problems with their eyes, like autoimmune diseases and things like that. But either way, there were a few people that were inquiring about ways that they can keep their eyes healthy. And I also understand, just upon giving them information for themselves, it just, you know, I like to go back in and redo my research about the statistics of how the eye health of our community is manifesting. And it's actually pretty interesting. There are over, let's see, 2 million people in the country, and I think that this might be a older study. Let's see if I can pull it up, because I want to tell you where I got the report from. Let's see. Oh, I don't have it right in front of me, but I was reading it earlier today. But anyway, there's too many people. It's about, oh, I said 2 million. 2 million people in the United States that are dealing with some kind of vision, degenerative visual problem. That means that the eye is being destroyed, you know, from something in the diet and the environment, and it's causing a gradual loss of vision over time. And they call these a lot of times age-related degenerative eye diseases. And I don't really like the term age-related degenerative eye disease, because I don't believe that just because you get older, your eyes have to start going bad. Yes, your vision may not be as super sharp as it was the day you were born or when you were a young child, but I don't believe that elders should be blind and not be able to function on their own because of this degenerative disease of the eye. So because of that, you know, they call, because of, you know, that people don't take care of their bodies into their old age, and, you know, they do begin to start seeing the breakdown of body tissues, such as the tissues in the eye. You do see people that are elders getting these diseases, or people, even people that aren't considered elders, really. I mean, younger and younger people are having more and more problems with their eyes nowadays. So I don't even think you can really call them age-related. I think they're just environmental, dietary-related now. But according to studies, more and more of these diseases are happening because of the things that we eat and the things in our environment that are creating this degeneration of the eye. So, and especially in the African in America community, because, again, we have a lot of things that have been brought into our communities that do not serve the body and actually just create more illness and disease. Especially those being diabetes and high blood pressure, which are some of the leading causes of eye degeneration diseases. Because, again, the eyes are very sensitive to blood pressure. The eyes are very sensitive to excess sugar. So most people that have diabetes or any kind of high blood sugar problem, or that have a high blood pressure problem, hypertension, any kind of cardiovascular disease, a lot of times people will also have problems with their eyes because the eyes are so sensitive to both those things. And I'm going to talk about that, too, a little bit later. So the first thing I want to talk about, because I mentioned diet, lifestyle, nutrition, contributing to the health of the eyes and how declines in those can contribute to eye disease. So all nutrients optimal in their optimal amounts are necessary for eye health. I mean, there isn't one nutrient, you know, there isn't one that I can say is the most important, because you need all of them. You need a whole foods diet. You need all those different elements in from the food in order to create an environment in the body that will allow those other nutrients to be available. So, you know, I'm not going to say that vitamin A is most important, because everybody associates vitamin A with, you know, eye health. Yes, vitamin A in the body is very important to eye health, but you can't even use your vitamin A unless other nutrients are there, like zinc and vitamin E, and you get all the rest of those vitamins and minerals and antioxidants from the food, eating whole foods. So I just wanted to put that out there, that all nutrients are necessary. But there are some nutrients that do stand out. And the reason that they do stand out is because they have a special affinity for the eyes, and they are stored especially in the eyes by the body. And those nutrients are beta-carotene, zeaxanthin, and rutin. So let's talk about each nutrient individually, because a lot of people have probably already heard of these, especially beta-carotene, but I want to talk about why each one, or not why, but what each one does in the body and why it's important for eye health and wellness. So beta-carotene, most people should know that it is that red-orange colored pigment that's found in plants and in different fruits of the plants, especially such as like carrots and what else will it be in? Beta-carotene will be in beets, red peppers, orange peppers. Think of anything that has red-orange color to it. Those vegetables, fruits, contain that beta-carotene. The human body uses beta-carotene to convert or to synthesize vitamin A or retinol. So that basically means that beta-carotene is a precursor of vitamin A. So you don't eat vitamin A from food. You know, people say, oh, carrots have vitamin A and, you know, tomatoes have vitamin A. They don't have vitamin A in it because you have to make it. They have beta-carotene in them, and then you use the beta-carotene, and then it goes to your liver, and your liver actually makes that vitamin A for you. So we need vitamin A now. We need to make vitamin A in order to make healthy skin. So that's why a lot of times people who have skin problems like acne, eczema, rashes, and things like that, holistic practitioners or herbalists will recommend that they eat or buy supplements that contain either vitamin A or that have beta-carotene. And the reason for that is because vitamin A is used for healthy skin. It's used for creating mucous membranes in the body, and it's used to strengthen and boost the immune system. All of that to say, the reason that it does that is because, for one, vitamin A is used in collagen synthesis, and your skin has a lot of collagen in it. That's what makes it plump and also elastin, too, which is another connective tissue in your skin that makes it resilient and soft and supple. And it helps your skin to heal from injury. So all those things help with the skin having good integrity. And then the immune system makes the skin and all the other mucous membranes, such as the mucous membranes that line your respiratory passages, that line your digestive tract and things like that, that line the inside of your eyes, or I should say like your eye sockets, like your behind your eyelids, around your eyeball. So all those things are also covered by a type of skin and a mucous membrane. And vitamin A is needed to create good integrity of those. If you have allergies, if you have like a lot of allergies to a lot of different things, a lot of times it's because that mucous membrane and then a couple with the immune system are weak and they don't have good integrity. So you're just kind of susceptible to anything coming into the body and wreaking havoc because you don't have that barrier to keep out things that shouldn't be getting in. Now, when we're talking about the eye is nothing but a big ball of connective tissue and membranes, mucous membranes, and a type of skin, or not really a skin, but it's a connective tissue that uses collagen and it needs those connective tissue precursors so that it can actually regenerate itself, repair itself what it needs to. So the eye is just a big ball of that. So it is very important for that aspect of the eye to be nourished by you consuming beta carotene and making vitamin A in the body. The other thing is that vitamin A is also stored. It's also stored in the eye as well. It helps to keep the macula, which is something that is commonly heard of when they talk about macular degeneration. Well, the macula has a lot of vitamin A stored in it. And it's like a pigmented membrane in the eye that's used for vision. So when that pigment starts to break down, that's when you start seeing the degeneration of the macula and you start seeing the loss of vision in that area that the macula supplies. So vitamin A is really important for just the overall, like the structure of the eye, creating the membranes necessary for the eye, and then also, the macula. And it's just a very important nutrient for overall eye health. Now, beta-carotene, like all carotenoids, because there are a whole bunch of different types of carotenoids that can be found in nature, but beta-carotene is an antioxidant like the rest of them are. And remember, I did a show where I was talking about antioxidants, and I talk about antioxidants at pretty much every show. They're basically substances that inhibit oxidation, so hence the name antioxidant, so it's helping to fend off oxidation of other molecules. And it protects the body from free radicals. Because remember, oxidation of cells means that they are being aged and they're being broken down and damaged. Eventually, the damage caused by free radicals can cause severe chronic illnesses. So any illness where you have a degeneration of the organ, I don't care if it's the eye, the joints, an organ, that means that the organ is being oxidated away, and there's an overburden of oxidative stress on that tissue. In the case of the eye, a lack of vitamin A, either through the diet or some other kind of structural deficiency or a reason why you cannot synthesize vitamin A, it can actually interfere with vision by causing a slow degradation of the eye tissues. For example, like I said, in macular degeneration and other what they call age-related vision decline. Because when you think about it, they call it age-related vision decline or age-related eye degeneration. Well, if your diet is deficient in a nutrient, then of course the further on you go in life and you've eaten the same thing every day, nobody's told you or you haven't learned yourself about your nutrient deficiencies potentially causing diseases in your body, you know, of course you'll go along with that. You'll be like, oh, well, I'm getting older, so now my vision is getting bad. Well, not necessarily. Your diet has been deficient for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And, yeah, so now, of course, when you hit your 70s, yeah, your vision is not going to be good because you've been deficient in these carotenoid-rich foods that could have saved your vision, you know, while you were growing up or while you were growing older. So, that's another reason why I don't believe in the age-related eye disease thing, because when you look at other cultures, or I should say, look at our ancestors. You know, there were people who lived into their hundreds, and they had perfect vision. There were people that were able to, I mean, who were the people that were teaching, you know, the students who were astronomy students, who were learning about astrology? They had to be able to look at the sky and see stars that not everybody else could see with the naked eye. You know, how did the Dogon see the Po? You know, how were they able to see that star that other people couldn't see without very high-powered telescopes today? You know, and that's because our vision, you know, and it wasn't just the Dogon, but, you know, I want to say across the board, our vision was more than likely a lot better because our diet was more nutritious. The land was not being depleted of a lot of its nutrients, so we had a higher quality nutrition back then. We were eating things that went with our biological makeup. So, of course, our eyesight, along with everything else in our body, was better supported. And we can still do that today. We just have to be more conscious of it because, you know, we're not in that environment of our ancestors anymore. We just have to be more diligent with our efforts of making sure we get the right nutrients. So that we don't get those kind of quote-unquote age-related diseases. Because the elders are supposed to be able to still be functional and teach and disseminate information. They shouldn't be, you know, trapped, like kind of like a prisoner in their own body just because, you know, no one was able to help see the early signs of degeneration and help them. So, and then nobody should be having problems with vision. You know, especially young people, which we're seeing more and more of now. So yes, let me get off my soapbox about that. And several studies that I researched show that antioxidants through diet help people's immune systems protect against the free radicals, and that pretty much just increasing your intake of antioxidant-rich foods, in this case the beta-carotene-rich foods like the carrots, the orange and yellow and red bell peppers, you know, eating at least 4 servings. So just changing that in your diet, eating 4 servings more of those kind of fruits and vegetables help to reduce the risk of developing those kind of visual nutrient deficiencies by about 40 to 50%, just 4 servings a day. So that's like, to me, that's like the least you can do for your body after, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 and plus years of not giving it what it needs. So you can try that first and see how you do with it. Now, I want to give you a list of some more examples. I said bell peppers and I said carrots, but there are many other fruits and vegetables that contain an abundance of beta carotene. So I'm gonna give you a little list of what those are. So the first thing I have on my list is apricots. Apricots are great. They, for those of you who've never seen them, they're just a bright orange. They kind of look like a peach, like a little mini peach. They're fuzzy like a peach. And they have a pit in them like a peach. They're like cousins to the peaches, basically. But they have a grip of beta-carotene. They're just a big, not a big, but they're just like a little orange fruit. And they have a good deal of beta-carotene. I can eat apricots all day. You can get them either fresh, if they're in season where you are, which is usually in the spring, if I'm not mistaken, And then you can also buy apricots dry. And apricots are, oh my goodness, they're a great dried fruit to use in baking. They can, you can put them in your smoothies to sweeten your smoothies. They're good for chopping up and putting in like your cereal, in your oatmeal. They're awesome. They're great to take as like a snack to go on the road. But they're just like a nice sweet treat. And I actually say even if you have problems with blood sugar, and everybody's body's different. I don't want to say this will be good for all people who are dealing with blood sugar problems. But most people I know that are managing their blood sugar, like diabetics and things like that. Some of them are able to eat a few apricots and it not spike their blood sugar. So you just have to try it. Maybe just eat one, see how you feel, see how it affects your blood sugar if you are dealing with that problem. And if it is, then don't eat them anymore. But apricots are very fiber-rich, too, along with them having a lot of the beta-carotene, which makes them very nourishing to the digestive system. They have both insoluble and soluble fiber. And all of that helps with not only getting rid of free radicals because of the antioxidant beta-carotene, but it also helps the body eliminate those toxins that are released by those antioxidants by improving digestion. So definitely get up on those apricots. They're great. And since I said peaches too, peaches also have a great deal of beta-carotene in them as well because, again, they're that orangey-pink color, and that is the carotenoids that are giving them that color. Oranges, tangerines, kumquats, again, orange fruits, they have a grip of beta-carotene, and not to mention some of those other nutrients that we need in order to have vitamin A synthesized in our body. So the vitamin C, which is abundant in these citrus fruits, helps with producing not only vitamin A, but other nutrients and other things in the body. Oh, for example, because I said vitamin A is needed for creating healthy skin and the membranes that even make up the eye, the vitamin C in citrus vegetables, citrus fruits, they actually are extremely important in collagen synthesis, which collagen is also in the eye. So you also need vitamin C-rich foods along with your vitamin A-rich foods. And citrus is a great combination of that. Or if you just eat citrus fruit at some point in the day, it's going to support other vitamin A, or not vitamin A, beta-carotene-rich foods you eat other times in the day. So definitely get up on those citrus fruits. Bell peppers, I mentioned, any kind of pepper, like a red pepper, even your hot, spicy peppers like cayenne, some types of paprika are spicy, even the unspicy paprika, you can use that. They're rich in beta-carotene because of that red color. Chipotle, all your red chili peppers, all of those are great, great high or rich sources of beta-carotene. Of course, sweet potatoes, chock full of beta-carotene, very nourishing. And they also have a great deal of vitamin C in them as well to help with the collagen production. Any of your red and black rices, those also contain a lot of beta-carotene the hulls of them, which is the fibrous portion that is not removed, which is why the rice is still black or red. Those are another great addition to the diet, and they, again, are fiber-rich, so will help with elimination and the digestive system. Red legumes, like lentils, like red lentils. They have the pink lentils, orange lentils, and any red beans, like the different kinds of peas we use. Kidney beans, all those things that are like the red, orange, brown types of legumes, those are also rich in beta-carotene. Apples, tomatoes, also, let's see, I'm trying to think of anything, grapefruit, I already mentioned the citrus, red onions, pumpkins and other squashes that are also red and yellow in color, and the ones that are in season, of course, those are another really great source of the beta-carotenes. And even some vegetables that you may not think have beta carotene in them or any carotenoids because of their color actually do contain a lot of carotenoids. So, for example, our leafy green vegetables like kale, those have a lot of carotenoids in them that can be very, very beneficial for the eyes. Chives, even white onions have some degree of carotenoids in them. Plums, again, because they have that red color. Peas, what else do I have on here? And then a lot of our spices have carotenoids in them, too. Don't sleep on the spices. I already mentioned the chilies and the paprika, but also oregano, parsley, cilantro. They also, because they're in those green, that green family, they also contain a lot of carotenoids. So definitely get up on those vegetables. And then, of course, just, you know, use your eyes. You know, look at things and say, oh, this is very vibrant, red or pink or orange or yellow. This has a lot of those carotenoids that Dr. Phoebe was talking about that help with the eyes. So just look around and explore. Go to your farmer's market. Go to whatever market and check out all the – and look at the food. Look at the produce in a way that is more holistic. You're looking at the color because that's what we used to do. We used to look at the food and say, hey, this will be good for that because I noticed this color. This color is usually something that I find when I eat it for a long time, my vision gets better. So that's how we looked at things. Now I told you what it does, so you can go and say, hey, this is a very red fruit. You know, these berries are probably really good for eyes, you know. And that's another thing, too, berries. Oh, berries are excellent, excellent, excellent for the eyes. Any berries, strawberries, blackberries, blueberries, you name it, acai berries, goji berries, they're all great. And, you know, you don't have to go out and buy goji berries because goji berries are really expensive. I actually love goji berries. I was actually eating some goji berries earlier today, but they're expensive. You can, like I said, you can settle for fresh, local varieties of berries that you have. And they have a great deal of those antioxidants, not only the beta carotenoids, but also anthocyanidins, which are those darker pigments that make the berries that red, blue, purple color. And those are absolutely phenomenal antioxidant scavengers for free radicals. And they help with not only neutralizing those things that cause degeneration of the tissues in the eye, but they also help to rebuild the tissues. So, and so do the beta carotene too. But berries are just excellent. And then berries help with blood sugar. They help with blood pressure. They help with digestion. They're just a great little package of whole food and nutrients that you can use for such a diet that's dealing with eye health. So so that's all about the beta carotenoids that I want to talk about. You can also do your own research on those. The next two nutrients that I want to talk about regarding eye health are zeaxanthin and lutein. So zeaxanthin and lutein, they're important nutrients that are found actually in the green leafy vegetables. But zeaxanthin and lutein are also in other foods as well. Many studies have actually shown that these two nutrients, lutein and zeaxanthin, they actually reduce the risk of chronic eye diseases when used consistently in the diet. So if you're eating foods, again, consistently, daily, you're making an effort to eat foods like this every day that, you know, people that had what they call that age-related macular degeneration and even cataracts, they show improvement in consistently eating those green leafy vegetables and other foods that contain rich amounts of lutein and zeaxanthin. I believe in that article I was looking at, 25 million people are affected by the macular degeneration and cataracts as well. So, like, there's a mix of people that are having these vision disturbances. 25 million people are, and that's what I meant to say at the beginning, not 2 million. It was 25 million. That was the number that I was trying to find. So 25 million people are affected by these age-related degenerative eye diseases. And the studies show that just adding more of these whole, you know, leafy greens, these rich, vibrantly colored fruits and vegetables really helps people to start improving their vision, improving these conditions. It's actually the age-related macular degeneration is actually the leading cause of blindness in this country in people over the age of 55. So if you are over the age of 55 and you're listening to this and you have and you already know you have some kind of vision disturbance, then this is a great time for you to start making those changes, because you can start to improve your vision if you just, you know, take your diet back into your own hands and start being more conscious about the things you're consuming. Lutein and zeaxanthin are also carotenoids. They're a type of carotenoids, but they're not a beta carotenoid like the orange and the red, yellow pigments that I was talking about a minute ago. But again, lutein and zeaxanthin, they are antioxidants that filter harmful, high-energy wavelengths of light, you know, that can possibly damage the eye. So, like, for example, the UV lights that come out of the sun, lutein and zeaxanthin are actually like that natural sun protectant that keeps those rays from damaging the eye. So if you don't have a diet that's rich in these nutrients, then some people can have, you know, more sensitivity to sunlight. They can create, or not create, they can have more risk of developing sun-related damage to the eye if they're spending more time outside, which should never happen because, you know, naturally we're supposed to be outside in the sun, and we should have natural protection to the sun because of that. Nature wouldn't have it to where we're meant to be outside without having some kind of protectant, but nature won't make that protectant if we're not living naturally and eating those foods that will help our bodies to make the things to protect us. So, speaking of the carotenoids, they not only act as a barrier to harmful rays of the sun, certain wavelengths in sunlight, but they also help to maintain and protect the integrity of the eye cells, the cells that actually structurally make up the eye. There are actually 600 of these types of carotenoids found in nature, but only two of the zeaxanthin and the lutein types deposit in the eye. You need all of them, and some of them, you know, actually deposit in the eye, but there's only two types of them that deposit more abundantly in the eye. I'm sorry, I meant to say there are 600 types of carotenoids, and the two that actually accumulate in the eye the most are the lutein and zeaxanthin. So lutein and zeaxanthin are those two carotenoids that are basically stored in the eye by the body. Unfortunately, the human body does not synthesize lutein and zeaxanthin the way that the body synthesizes vitamin A. So you must get lutein and zeaxanthin in your diet. So eating the green leafy vegetables, eating those fruits and vegetables that, you know, are green and that are vibrantly colored, they will allow you to get those adequate amounts of these two antioxidants so that you'll have the proper protection. And also the primary function, I want to talk about the primary function of the eye as we talked about the
I'm sorry. I was having some technical issues earlier in the show, so I couldn't join you. But I just wanted to say, you know, give my greetings to the listeners. And also, we do have a few on hold for questions.
Oh, okay. We can go ahead and answer those questions.
Okay.
Yes, we can answer those.
The first caller looks like 512. 512, what's your name and where are you calling from?
I think that might be me.
Or y'all going to Mama thing tomorrow?
Hello? 512?
Okay, I think they didn't. I don't think they meant to.
Okay, it looks like we have 941 is the next one in line. 941, what's your name or where you're calling from? Hello? Yes.
Hello, greetings.
You guys can hear me?
Yes, yep, we can hear you loud and clear.
So I don't know if she said 941 or 951. I'm calling in from 951. Is it my turn?
Oh, if you have a question, yep, you're the one that's on. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't have any question at all. I was just really enjoying everything that you women are sharing. And if anything, I would just like to thank you for the work that you are doing in the community. And I know how much... Yeah, I know how much work it takes, and you guys have so much light and beauty to share, and I'm just really happy to have the opportunity to even listen to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much.
No problem. It's our pleasure. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I say thank you.
I give thanks.
Well, thanks for those kind words, sis, and continue listening. I'm going to go ahead and go on to 310. 310, do you have any questions or comments? And
yes.
Your name and where you're calling from as well.
Yes, greetings. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Yes, this is Nwali Mukavila. I'm calling from Los Angeles. I am chair of the Congress of African People, and I just found out about... Greetings.
Sister
Kenya.
Yes, greetings. I'm happy you're listening in.
Great. And I believe the sister that just called in, that you just spoke to, I believe I had just invited her a little while ago, and she was very excited about coming on. I believe that was Sister Kali. She's also from California. I wish she had promoted her she wants to do a women's divine essence retreat for African women. So
You
can back on. She can, you know, just talk about that briefly. But my question is that I want to raise related to, and I'm so glad that you're having this program on food as medicine, because that is a primary focus for the Congress of African People, to promote food as medicine and medicine as food. And and also we view it in the Congress of African People, we view the whole food as medicine concept as an economic concern in our community also, that helps to build an industry within our community that can provide jobs and economic benefits as well as social benefits to our community. But my specific question is, I'm an older person, 67. I've been in the movement 45 years. I was a Zulu dancer at one time and played sports and all of that. And now I have an issue with, I have no cartilage in my left knee, which makes me kind of disadvantaged. And I was wondering if, and please help me with your name, Dr. Afivi, is that right?
Uh-huh, Dr. Afivi Adiro. You can call me either Dr. Afivi or Dr. Adiro. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. And so my question to both of you is there anything that can be done for no cartilage in the knee? I rear back from having to get a knee replacement. I don't want the metal in my knee. And being, you know, being a little older now, I'm kind of concerned about going under the knife, going under anesthetic if I don't really have to. So so my question has to do with, Are there any things that I can, like, focus on in terms of my nutrition? And I try to eat as healthy as possible, but I'd just like to hear you, you know, speak on it to give any suggestions or advice you can give in that area.
Yeah. And thank you again for your kind words, too. It's our pleasure to bring the information to you all. And as far as it sounds like you're talking about osteoarthritis, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
and this is something
yes,
that the, yes, And it's something that the men in my family actually manifest a great deal as well. So one of the things that you can do, and I've never seen you before, but one of the first things I tell osteoarthritis patients to do that are having that bone-on-bone, they have that bone-on-bone joint degeneration, is to lose weight. Now, I don't know if you're at a healthy weight already, or maybe you gained a few pounds that are maybe not as optimal for your body. You may not be, like, morbidly obese, but even, like, a few pounds overweight can actually create a lot of stress on the body. So if you need to
lose some weight. I am 300 pounds, yeah.
Okay. So one of the first things I tell people to do is one of the, not the easiest, but the most simple thing that the body would like for you to do, and that's to take some of the stress off of the joint. And the way that you take the stress off the joint is to incorporate a diet and a lifestyle that will allow you to lose the extra weight. Now, on top of that, you also have to support weakened systems in the body. And I actually did a show on musculoskeletal health, using foods for musculoskeletal health. And you look in the archives, you can find that, and you can hear me talk for an hour about that and give you even more information. But one of the first things you can do is eat foods that promote collagen production. So things like your nuts and your seeds, things that help with inflammation, because osteoarthritis is an inflammatory degeneration of the joint. So flax seeds, chia seeds, nuts and seeds like Brazil nuts, walnuts, hemp seeds are huge as far as having the oils and a lot of the collagen-producing vitamin E and silica and things like that. Also taking, if you're not vegan, you can do chondroitin. Chondroitin is usually made from shellfish. So if you don't have a shellfish allergy or you're not vegan, you can take chondroitin supplements to help with the joint regeneration. And then you can also, which is vegan, which can be found in vegan sources, is the glucosamine. The glucosamine is also something you can find in a supplement form that can help with the joint regeneration. Now, I will tell you, I want to give you like a prognosis that regenerating the joint takes a lot more time than regenerating other tissues. And the reason for that is because think about like your skin. If you cut your skin, it'll bleed because it's very highly vascular. There's a lot of blood vessels going into your skin. Not the same for your joints. Your joints don't actually have veins that run through them. They actually get nutrients through kind of like a diffusion. Kind of think about a tea bag in a cup of water. It has to fuse through the joint tissue from the blood. So because of that, it takes longer for those nutrients that you take in supplements and through your food to get to the joints. So you just have to be consistent with whatever it is that you do, consistent with your diet, consistent with making sure you're getting a lot of these healthy oils and nuts and seeds and collagen-producing vitamin C fruits and vegetables into your diet every day, losing the weight, and then also movement. I know you said that you were pretty physically active with your martial arts training and dancing, and you can't stop moving because, like the saying goes, if you don't use it, you lose it. So a lot of people with these kind of joint problems become too sedentary, then you gain more weight, and then the joints get worse. You become make you more sedentary, you gain more weight, and the joints get worse. So it's kind of a vicious cycle. So walking is great for that. Also that walking and just being more active brings more blood around the joint, which means more nutrients can diffuse to the joint. Do you like yoga? Like, yoga is actually great for osteoarthritis, or Tai Chi, or any kind of like rhythmic exercise is really good for relieving stress out the joints and creating circulation there. So those are things that I would do kind of holistically to help ease that. But you have to be consistent. That's like the big thing. Yeah.
Okay, that's really great, and it really helps me kind of conceptualize what I need to do. I do a lot of those things. I have all the yoga equipment. I haven't been using it, and I've been wanting to get back to it. And but I do I do the chia seeds and hemp seeds like almost every day. Either I put them in a drink or I put them in, you know, a yogurt or something, cereal or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I do that, and I've noticed in the weight loss, you know, what you said is true, because I've lost about 20 pounds in the last 2 months, and I can tell the difference already in my mobility and able to get around. So even though I'm so heavy, losing the weight, I'm sure would be to my benefit also.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's just physical pressure that you'll be able to take off. Also, there's an herb called devil's claw. If you can get your hands on some devil's claw herb, that's also good for just kind of like a herbal painkiller that won't build up in your system, that won't create any metabolites and chemicals and things like that. It's just like a natural anti-inflammatory that helps with joint pain. So that's something else you can do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for that. I'm looking at it right now. The pain is like, you know, I live with the pain every day. So something natural to relieve pain other than ibuprofen, which I can't take now. I can't take ibuprofen more.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. And actually, I sell that actually on my website too. But if you can get it locally, that's even better, because then you don't have to wait. But there are different resources where you get the devil's claw tea. You would just make a tea out of it, or you can get it in a capsule form.
Okay, now what is your website?
My website is Ask Dr. Adiro, so ASKDR, AD as in diamond, IRO, .weebly, WEEB as in boy, LY, .com.
Okay.
You can find it there. And
Adiro
actually,
is
go ahead.
Adiro is ADIRO.
Yeah, AD as in diamond, IRO.
Okay. Wow, thank you.
Yes, no problem at all. And actually, I just updated the site today, so if you don't see it right when you go to it in a minute, like, just refresh the page and it should be there. Yeah.
Okay, so since you mentioned that, and I didn't know, because like I said, I just found out about the program maybe a couple of hours ago myself. But what other things do you have on your website? Do you do herbs?
Oh my gosh! Yes, I have a growing herb store. I have a few herbs on there, like single herbs, but I also I make formulas as well. So I have a formula. I have cleanses on there in tea and capsule form. I have tonic teas. I have a blood pressure tea right now that I just made, and also a diabetic tea, or like a blood sugar balancing tea. And I'm still making things. I'm making things like pretty much every week. So I keep adding things on there. So so I have a mix of single herbs. So like if you want to just buy a tea of just nettles or devil's claw, and I also have formulas. And I also do custom formulas, too. So if there are things that you don't see, or you have your own kind of thing going on that you would like me to formulate custom for you, I also provide that service as well. So.
Oh, wow, great. Also, does your website have your email address in case we want to ask you, like, a question or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I have a contact part of my page as well. Mm-hmm.
Oh, excellent. This is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So much.
Oh, yeah, I got y'all. I got you.
Yeah, but you know Dr. Phoebe is the mom. But I just also wanted to add in, because my mom had to get her knee replaced 14 years ago. And she's still having issues with that to this day. And she was contemplating getting the second one done. But because it was so bad on that one that she had replaced, she opted out to do that. So it's a few things that she does that actually help her. She takes silica, like all natural silica, that helps her a lot.
Yes.
That boosts that high in silica too. And for some reason, she noticed a big difference, and especially in the knee that she was having issues with and wanted to actually get replaced. You can, you know, check out a lot of fruits and vegetables have natural silica in them as well. And then she, for pain, she does ginger. It's also She makes like a ginger tea because I was telling her about how it was helping me with some pain that I was having, and that actually helps her as well. So she just grates up some ginger, like grate it in a cup and just make it in like a, like steep it with the water and sit, and it helps her a lot with pain and the inflammation. She said she can notice it. Yes. And also, we have the sister back on the line. I didn't catch her name. Can you introduce her again, Baba, please?
Yes, this is Sister Kali Ma'at. She is from Cali up in the high desert. And her and I, we just had a wonderful, almost like two and a half hour conversation. She's doing a lot of things. So I just wanted to introduce her and let her just speak her piece.
Yes, wonderful. Please. Welcome, sis. Greetings once again.
Greetings.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Kali Ma'at. I live in the high desert here in Southern California. I am the founder and CEO of the Divine Feminine Council, which is it's a nonprofit organization that I'm just now in the very beginning phases of getting it going. And what we hope to do is to offer a space for women of African descent to come out and retreat on our land as they undergo a series of rites of passage as a priestess training to get them cleansed. They will also be undergoing cleansing regimens and working with herbs. Everything will be natural. And so it's a really good connection to have you women. I definitely will be looking you up and reaching out to you on the internet, because we will be needing women definitely such as yourself to come out and assist us in the process of getting our sisters healthy physically, mentally, and spiritually, and then sending them back out into the world knowing who they are and also being capable of carrying their mission forward. And so right now we are definitely, we're raising funds to get everything going. We're securing the land here. And it's going to be amazing. I'm really excited about it. I would love to share with you more, sending you the links to exactly what we're doing. Our website is divinefemininecouncil.org. So
Divine
you can go on there.
Divinefemininecouncil.org. Okay.
Yes, divinefemininecouncil.org. You can go on there and read more about myself and the other women who are involved.
Wonderful. Oh, yeah, I'm going to look that up right when I'm finished.
Yeah. Yes. And you guys are in California. That's not too far from Phoebe.
I'm in Arizona. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, one of the women on our board is actually in Arizona also, Kiki Senza. She is a Reiki practitioner, and she works with people who are mentally ill, doing Reiki with them and also taking them through shamanic journeys of discovering their animal totems. And is also, she's going to be a really big part of this center. And what we're planning on doing is having the women who are assisting us come and live on the land during the time that they're teaching, so that, you know, everyone's there together and really they're present with the women that we are working with, that we are helping to do what they need to do to take back our world and to help us reach liberation, which we so much need and desire.
Indeed. Yeah.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you very much for sharing that with us.
And I know Sister Kali may be kind of shy, but I'd like to just put a pitch in. The land that they are planning to put the retreat on is land in the high desert, and they're in the process now of raising funds, and they really need immediate funds. So have a GoFundMe site. Maybe she can give the URL for the site, because we want to secure the land, and we're going to help her, you know, put the retreat up. But she needs to secure the land, like, now.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. We are facing a deadline. It's coming up very rapidly. As of right now, I've been the only one paying off the land, and the deadline is coming just around the corner. It's in 6 days to get the rest of the funds raised to pay off the land, the 10 acres of land. So I have a GoFundMe site up. I don't know if you have a pen and paper, if you want to take it down now, or if you would like to reach out to me through Facebook or email and have me send you the link.
Yeah, I think the best thing to do would be to put it on Facebook, because then it would reach more people that way.
Yeah.
Because then you would have an actual flyer, you would actually have the link up, and people can just go to it and click on it and support that way.
Right. We have it up on Facebook, and please do check it out and come on my page and add me as a friend that way.
Okay. I'll make sure I do that. You can also, if you want to, like, just give it, because it's only a few days, and some of the listeners who's listening in might be inclined to donate. So you can also...
Yes.
Give it on the air as well.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and give it to everyone. It is www.gofundme.com/ D as in David, I as in India, V as in Victory, I as in India, F as in Frank, E as in Edward, M as in Mary, C as in Kathy, O as in Oscar, U as in Unicorn, N as in Nancy.
Okay. Okay.
So that is
good.
The link.
All righty. Well, thank you. I appreciate you all coming on and, sharing that with us. And we'll be in touch most definitely. I'll make sure I shoot you a request as well.
Okay. Thank you so much, sister.
All right.
All
peace.
Right. Peace.
And also, Dr. Deary, I had just one more question.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask, in relationship to the to the osteoarthritis and being bone to bone, what are your feelings about plant stem cells as a source of relief?
I haven't heard anything about plant stem cells, but I have heard about people using their own stem cells from other parts of their bodies for injections that actually help to regenerate the cartilage in between the joint. It's called PRP therapy. You can look it up online. There are some naturopathic doctors that do it. I don't do that, but I actually know a brother that does it out here. You would have to maybe find somebody locally that does it for you if you're not willing to travel for it. But PRP therapies where they take your blood, platelets, like they actually take your own blood, and then they centrifuge it, and then they get your platelets. And your platelets are basically like those kind of precursor-type cells that can actually turn into any cell in your body depending on where it is, where it's deposited. So if they inject it into your joints, then it can help to promote gradual joint regeneration. That's the theory behind it. So
okay.
I would so I don't know about the plant stem cells, but I do know that you got your own stem cells and they're using that. So
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Peace to you all. Thank you for that information on your end too.
For sure.
Mhm. All right. Let's see. So I know that we are a little bit over time, but I'm going to finish up what I was going to share with everyone as far as the eye health. Yes, so just a few more notes that I have. Okay, so I want to talk about blood sugar and blood pressure as far as how it relates to eye health. So the eyes are very sensitive to both blood sugar and blood pressure. So first, blood pressure. Blood pressure and eye health is very important because, remember, the eyes have a vascular system that's very small, very delicate, and because it's small and delicate, it has any changes in the blood pressure, whether it be a drop or an increase in blood pressure, is going to greatly affect the pressure within the eye. So it's for this reason that when we develop high blood pressure, that the eyes are one of the first organ systems to begin to degenerate, because an increase in blood pressure is that much more damaging to those small blood vessels than the larger arteries that are in the rest of our body. So high blood pressure in the eyes can actually lead to three different conditions that are most common. So the actual eye blood vessel damage, which is called retinopathy, anybody that has gone for like regular checkups, if you have diabetes or you have hypertension and they check your eyes, you already know that they're already looking for signs of this happening in your eye. So the retinopathy, what happens here is high blood pressure actually damages the blood vessels that supply the retina, which causes, which can cause bleeding in the eye. It can lead to blurred vision and then complete loss of vision. So if you also have diabetes and hypertension together, you're at an even greater risk for developing that retinopathy condition. Now, the other thing that could happen with high blood pressure is that fluid buildup can occur in the retina in this condition. And then fluid builds up, it can actually create leaky blood vessels, which again create blurred vision, and it impairs vision, and then it can lead to a certain degree of blindness as well. Nerve damage can also happen in the eye, which is called optic neuropathy, and this is a condition where there's blocked blood flow due to high blood pressure to the optic nerve, and the optic nerve is what you need to actually to see. So what that happens is that it can slowly start to kill off those nerve cells that distribute to the eye from that nerve, that main nerve, and it can cause bleeding and loss of vision as well. So for this reason, making sure your blood pressure is under control is very important. So consuming foods that help your cardiovascular system is also important for your eye health. So remember, I did a show about cardiovascular foods. You can check that in the archives. But foods that you would consume as a part of this aspect of your eye health would be things like garlic, onions, ginger, hawthorn berry tea, which is wonderful. Celery stalks. Remember, 4 celery stalks a day, y'all. Not the little bitty bite-sized ones, but the whole celery stalk. Eat 4 of those daily, 4 to 6 of them daily, depending on how bad your blood pressure is. And that can help to bring your blood pressure down. Also avoiding refined sugars and starches and wheat products, walking daily or most days, doing things that are rhythmic and meditative like yoga, tai chi, qigong, and meditation, because stress also increases your blood pressure. So if we can, kind of stimulate that parasympathetic system through meditation and just being still, that also helps blood pressure. Also dance. Any physical activity helps to regulate the blood pressure as well. Make sure that you're having daily bowel movements as well. A lot of people don't think about constipation contributing to high blood pressure, but it does. It actually makes it to where your colon can restrict certain vessels that need to be circulating. It can create stagnation in the circulation, and that can actually increase your blood pressure, because that is pressure. That's pressure building up in your digestive system. So make sure that's on point as well, doing things to make your bowel movements more regular, and also reducing animal flesh consumption to either none at all while you're doing this therapy for yourself, or at least reducing it to 1 to 2 times a week. Do not eat animal products every day, because it's very stressful on the system. It's a lot of metabolic waste products that are left after the body tries to digest meat. So if you're already having an excess condition which is causing eye problems, you don't want to have any more toxic buildup than you need. So just make sure you're doing that. Now, let's see. And then, of course, when you're making these dietary changes, not only is your vision going to get better, but you're also going to see things like weight loss. You're going to see other things happen that is a sign that your body is releasing those toxins necessary that it needs to free up, not only the eyes, but the rest of the body in doing what it needs to do. So the last thing I want to talk about is blood sugar and eye health. So diabetes is the leading cause of blindness in adults 20 to 74. That should tell you right there that, blood sugar damages the eyes, like high blood sugar damages the eyes. What high amounts of sugar in the blood does is it causes the lens of the eye to swell up. And that changes your ability to see, because think of like the lens of a camera, you know, if that's warped and misshapen and it's not, you know, capturing the image correctly, then your picture's going to be off. And the same thing happens when you're trying to capture that picture through the lens of your eye for your brain to see and reflect back to you as vision. It's not going to be correct. So that causes vision changes there. To correct this kind of blurred vision, of course, you need to get your blood sugar back into range. For many people, this will be like in between 70 and 130. That's what the Diabetic Association usually says. But for me, I like to see it. I like to see it between 70 and like not no more than 110 for optimal health. Before meals, it should be less than 180. And then about 2 hours after a meal, I'm sorry. It should be less than 180 about 1 to 2 hours after you eat. And before meals, it should be, so if you're fasting, it should be between 70 and like 110. That's what we like to see. So blurred vision can also be a symptom of more serious eye problems. So just make sure that you are, if you do have diabetes or any other kind of blood sugar imbalance, you're getting regular checkups from your optometrist so that they can monitor that kind of thing. Or whoever your primary care doctor is, if it's a naturopathic doctor, make sure you are getting those regular eye checkups. Now, the three major eye problems that people see with diabetes are cataracts and glaucoma and the retinopathy. So a cataract, again, is that clouding or that fogging of a normally clear lens. And all that clouding up is excess sugar, inflammation, and waste products. That's what that is. And, again, that just is like a clouding of a camera lens. It just makes it to where your vision is not optimal because this literally the waste has clouded and the excess sugar has clouded the lens of the eye. The other one is the glaucoma, when fluid inside the eye does not drain properly, because your behind your retina actually has this plexus called the choroid plexus, and when the fluid behind there is, like when the pressure goes up and it starts to leak and it doesn't drain properly, this results in the glaucoma syndrome. So the concentration gradient of those fluids actually changes when there's excess sugar in the body, and this concentration gradient change creates the change in pressure, which damages nerves and the blood vessels in the eye, and that causes the vision changes. So that is another complication. And then as for the retinopathy, I already said when I was talking about the high blood pressure, this is when the specialized cells in the retina, they become distorted because of the increase in because of the damage of the blood vessels to the retina, and then that creates loss of vision or blurred vision or loss of vision. So those are some of the complications of the eye that can happen with diabetes and other high blood sugar issues. If you have diabetes, please make sure that you are getting your eyes checked often and doing things to get your blood sugar down. This is very crucial for healing, to normalize blood sugar. And I actually have I also have capsules or a tea of this blood sugar balance formula that I do make on my website that you can buy to help facilitate you if you are already making those changes of diet and lifestyle to manage your blood sugar. This is just another supportive thing that you can do is to have like a, you know, some herbs that will support those weakened systems like your pancreas, your eyes, your kidneys, your liver, things like that. So foods that you should eat when you are controlling blood sugar in accordance with eye health, foods that are high in fiber, healthy, have healthy fats in them, have an abundance of complete amino acids, things like flax seeds, chia seeds, walnuts, hemp seeds, coconut, sesame seeds. Those are going to have your good essential oils and fats and fiber in them. Non-starchy whole grains are important because you don't want to eat a whole bunch of grains. Grains are not your friend if you are diabetic because they're going to turn into sugar. But you can have moderate amounts, not moderate, you can have, you know, reasonable amounts of non-starchy whole grains like quinoa and wild rice, kamut, teff, spelt, buckwheat, all those, and especially the buckwheat. The buckwheat is especially good for eye health because it contains an abundance of rutin. I actually eat buckwheat all the time. I sprout my own, and the routine is going to help with the macular degeneration. It's going to help with giving the eye that necessary antioxidant it needs in order to get rid of the free radicals and the metabolic waste. So definitely get up on buckwheat and some of those other non-starchy grains. And, of course, get the alkalinizing antioxidant-rich foods like leafy greens, those colorful beta-carotenoid-rich vegetables and fruits like apples and pears, bananas, pumpkins, sweet potatoes. And okra, too, has been shown to help bring down blood sugar. And much of it is due to its high fiber content and the chlorophyll that is very oxygenated into the body. And then the mucilage, that slimy aspect to the okra, it actually helps to bind excess sugars and toxins from the gut. So it kind of is like a 1-2-3 punch with the okra. And they're coming into season. They're not in season in Arizona, but I'm sure in other parts of the country they're coming into season. So look out for okra. You can even get okra dried or frozen. Do whatever you got to do. Just get some more okra into your diet if you're trying to control your blood sugar. Everybody should eat okra. Also consume supportive
everybody.
Herbs.
That's one of my favorites. Like, I never liked okra. And then one day I was reading about it and reading about the benefits and how a lot of people use it for, like, their digestive help. And a lot of women, like, in the Caribbeans and, like, in Africa, utilize this okra to help with childbirth. Like, they eat it fresh. And when I tried it fresh, it was so good. It was so good fresh. I was like, wow. Like, and I started eating it ever since. Like, I'll get it, rinse it really good, wash it really good, and I'll just eat it like a snack. It is, like, really good.
It's great raw. I love it. I eat it raw all the time. Like, I just pick it and eat it right there. So yeah, okra is great, and everybody should eat it, and then especially those people who are, you know, again, looking to help control their blood sugar. And then also those herbs, you got to make sure that you're supporting the body with herbs. Eyebright, blueberries, blackberries, any berries are great for controlling blood sugar, like I mentioned before. Red raspberry leaf tea, bitter melon, genema, all of those are really good herbs to help support blood sugar balance. And again, avoid foods that are being an obstacle to heal yourself, okay? Refined sugars, no sir, no ma'am. No refined carbohydrates, no concentrated juices. You should not be drinking cooked juices in the bottles and things like that. Make your own juices because they're fresher, they're going to contain more nutrients, and they're not going to spike your blood sugar. Also, no barbecued or fried foods. The reason for that is because they're oxidative. Anything that has a burnt smell, a charred smell, that barbecue smell is just oxidative elements, those things that are going to age your cells, those things that are going to create toxic waste buildup in your eyes and basically just create that degeneration that you're taking antioxidant foods to keep away. So why would you eat a burnt piece of food? That's what barbecue food is. That's what fried food is. So while you're healing, at least, while you're, you know, trying to therapeutically treat yourself, do not eat those fried and barbecue foods to reduce those toxic buildups. And then, of course, animal protein consumption, try to eliminate it. Plant-based is most optimal for your diet. But if you must consume animal flesh, limit it to 1 to 2 times a week to give your body a break from all of the metabolic waste. So, like I said, if you're interested in getting those herbs, I have them blended up for you on my site. Just
already
to make it easier for people. Yeah, good to go. But like I said, if you can find those herbs locally, you know, in your area, that's also good too. And then you'll be able, you know, you'll be more knowledgeable about the things that you can use and have access to. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So go out there and don't just listen to me. Take care of your eyes. Eat those foods.
Yes,
lots of colors and yes, you got to get those colorful foods in there for the antioxidants and eye nourishers. So yeah.
Wow. Now, I do want to go ahead, one of our sisters, the executive of the network, the creator, Empress, she would like to come in and say something. Sis, are you there?
Oh, yeah, but we all creating this thing together. That was a good place to come in at because I just left the website, and I took my little purse up in there, but I was like, I'm going to have to come back shopping. I already shopped, so make sure my stuff hit the mail. ASAP. yes, thank you. So I'm just telling y'all who's listening that please just go on there and look at her store. She got some good stuff up in there. She got some good stuff. And the prices, are, they are very reasonable. I kid you not. So just go look at it. You need to get on that website again, sis.
Oh, yes. My website is ask, A, S as in safflower, K, D as in diamond, R, Adiro, A, D as in diamond, I-R-O. So ask Dr. Adiro dot Weebly, W-E-E-B-L-Y dot com. So that's my site. That's where you can go and make appointments. I do phone consults as well as in-person consults if you're in the Phoenix area or if you're in Arizona. You know, I can see you physically. And I have my products on the site. You can contact me on that site. I have videos. I have a YouTube channel. You can check me out on there.
Wow.
I'm there to give you as much information as possible. My page is a hub. You can get a hub. It's a hub. That's what it's called.
It is. So go over there, y'all. I just left them over there, so y'all ain't gonna see me in the house because I'm done. But go over there and check it out. And so that's all I want to say. That was the perfect time. And Doc, I need you to get a hold of me afterwards. Call me.
Me?
Okay,
definitely.
I said both of y'all.
Doc. I just sent both of these friend requests.
Okay.
So.
Thank you. I'm done. Good show, ladies.
All right. Well, thank everyone.
I give thanks.
I just want to thank everyone for listening in, especially Baba Malabo and also the other sister, Sister Mayat, for calling in. And I'm going to be connecting with her as soon as I get home. But I just wanted to let everyone know that you guys can always go on our like page as well, Fools for Medicine on Facebook. Like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. and check us out on our website, Dynasty Network. We have a host of other shows as well as Food for Medicine. We are coming up on our 2-year anniversary, and we have a host. I know, that's exciting. We have a host of information that you guys can check out over there. And to let you know, I'm not going to be on next Friday, y'all. I will be at the parade.
You'll be at Mardi Gras. Okay.
Yes, they're having, I have a whole schedule of, stuff I got to go attend. So I will be here in spirit, and my sister, Phoebe, is going to hold it down like she always does.
I'll be here.
So I just want to say, tell my sister, everyone else, to have an awesome weekend and prosperous and healthy week. I'm not going to try, I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. It's not early. But I'm going to be starting my cleanse.
That's right. We're
going to
put you on a cleanse, girl. Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to call you. Seriously, because I'm going to have to, start my cleanse extra early.
That's funny.
But peace and love to everyone. We'll be back on next week, but I will be on the following week. So peace and love, family.
Okay. All right. Bye. Peace, everyone. Great. Have a great weekend.
Can I say something in closing?